Hello, my name's Henry Goldstein from Don't Forget the Bubbles. This talk was recorded live at DFTB 17. The wheels are in motion for our next edition, and you can find out more at dftb18.com. Enjoy.
Hi everyone, I thought Arjun was going to talk about this morning when I changed my mind very quickly. And he should have told that story. So Arjun, I'll tell a story. Arjun this morning we were going to have some breakfast and I asked the guy at the front, do you have any juice? And he said, you know, yes, but we've got them in bottles. And I said, well, I'll have a coffee instead. So what I'd like to say to you is I'm a woman, I'm allowed to, you know, change my mind. But what I'm here to do today is to change your minds about preschool wheeze. So firstly, though, I'd really, really like to thank Tessa, Ben, Henry and Andy for this conference. I'm really pleased to be able to speak, but I'm really proud and excited that we've got this here and to be a part of it. So now and the future of preschool wheeze. Today we're going to talk about a particular type of children, a particular group of children. We're going to talk about treatment, steroids, bronchodilators, something that we didn't talk in the asthma talk the other day. And we're going to talk about how to best look after these children in the community and in the hospital. But first, for something at the opposite end of the spectrum.
Preschool nurses to organise upstairs.
Yeah, we just want to make sure they're ready.
To make sure they're ready. Yeah.
Kids may be a bit on the far side down, but that's okay. But tunes on the far side down, Mark. Mark, what was that? The tune is probably on the far side down. Okay.
Beautiful.
Can I get you to get the transportation pack?
Is everyone awake now? That was quite loud. So this is one of the sickest asthma patients that I've ever been involved in caring for. She had severe bronchospasm. She had a silent chest. She was obtunded. She had a PCO2 of 150 and a pH of 6.7. If you have a look on her arterial trace for those keen emergency people, there's also an excellent example of pulsus paradoxus on her arterial tracing. So, you never want to intubate an asthmatic, right? Well, that's true. I was really terrified. It actually went really well, and the patient went on to improve very quickly and go home 4 days later. But that's not what we're here to talk about today. We're here to talk about preschool wheeze. And so up the road where I work out at Lady Salento, we saw 67,000 children through our emergency department last year. And if you look at those with status asthmaticus, we saw 7. She was one of them, and I'm pretty sure she was the only one that we intubated. But if you look at the preschool wheezes, we saw over 2,000 children with preschool wheeze last year. That's 3 times the amount with asthma and far in excess of any we saw with status asthmaticus. So if the theme for this inaugural Don't Forget the Bubbles conference is making a difference, these are the children that I think that we can make a big difference for. There's a large amount of children and looking after them and their families is in everyone's best interests. If we look after 2,033 patients at our emergency department, surely in your area of practice, whether it be GP, outpatients, peripheral hospitals, mixed emergency departments, surely everybody's dealing with a lot of these children as well. And I want to help you with that today. So I have to thank Sting because he penned the lyrics that have given this talk its name, which is Every Breath You Take. I also need to thank a lot some people that were involved in the creation of the guideline that we did last year. I'm just a spokesperson for the information that we all got together and talked about, and that's the emergency physicians, the paediatricians and the respiratory physicians at Lady Salento Emergency. So thanks to them and I hope that I can share some of their great information with you today. That they are my 5 nephews. So let's talk about this group of children. They are the 1 to 5 year olds. They are those that are preschool, so preschool. And what we know about these children from following them is that they represent a specific group of children who may not go on to develop asthma. We know though that about a third of them before their third birthday will have 1 episode of wheeze, and at least half again will have multiple episodes of wheeze in their childhood. So preschool wheeze. Let's define it a little bit further. There are a lot of different ways to define it, and I don't think we've reached absolute consensus yet. I hope with time that those definitions will be refined. For the moment, we're stuck with two definitions, episodic viral wheeze and multi-trigger wheeze, and that's the way we break these children down. So, episodic viral wheeze, spoiler alert, it's episodic. It's caused by a virus, usually an upper respiratory tract infection. And the most important thing about this subgroup of children within the preschool wheezes is that they are well in between these episodes. As opposed to children with multi-trigger wheeze, who may have the trigger of a viral infection, but also other environmental allergens. These children have discrete episodes as well, discrete exacerbations, but they also have symptoms in between episodes. So, first point, some subgroups, episodic viral wheeze and multi-trigger wheeze, and it's helpful to get that right in your head as to which one your patient fits into. So the question I get asked all the time when I'm discharging patients is, will little Johnny go on to have asthma? Especially if they're in this age group. So what we know is the vast majority of these children will not go on to have asthma. In fact, 2/3 will grow out of their preschool wheeze. We do know that there are some risk factors for those who will be more likely to go on and develop asthma, and they are the children who have wheeze onset after 18 months of age, so they're usually well before then. Those children who have a mother with asthma, so maternal asthma, and those who have an atopic history. I think most people are fairly okay with the fact if you've got eczema or allergies, you're more likely to go on to have asthma. Allow me to go back to basics for a while because I want to talk about treatment now. And I'm a pretty simple emergency physician, so just bear with me where we define wheeze, which is a continuous high-pitched sound emitting from the lower airways during expiration. And I think it's important to remember that if you get wheeze, it can be a variety of different things. You can either have narrowing, obstruction, or turbulent airflow through the lower airways. And when we talk about treatment, if you can conceptualise what's going on in those airways in your head, it's really helpful. So this is a normal airway. It's got mucosa on the inside and the muscle bands around the outside. One example of when you get sick with a virus when you're a little kid is that you get lots of inflammation on the inside. You get muck, you get mucus, you get lots of inflammation, but you don't get any constriction of the smooth muscle that surrounds the airways. Some children get a mixture of both, so they get bronchoconstriction and then they also get edema and mucosal inflammation. So I want you to remember those two pictures. It's worthwhile mentioning bronchiolitis, although that's not within the scope of our talk today. And those children always wheeze, but they don't have smooth muscle constriction. They've just got tiny airways that are a little bit more narrowed because of inflammation. And that's why we don't use bronchodilators in those children. So any of those children can wheeze, but they have different reasons for their wheezing. Bronchodilators are still the mainstay of therapy for preschool wheezes, and this will get you, this is a great start. So an asthma inhaler, a spacer, and a mask, and 6 puffs for this age group is very suitable. But remember that mixed picture, not everyone has bronchoconstriction. And so I only want to touch on this briefly, but it's very important that you make sure that the bronchodilators work. So if you're giving Ventolin, if you're giving salbutamol, whatever you want to, whatever brand you're using, it's very important that you give it and that you reassess if it's working or not. Some children, it works really from the outset. Some children, it doesn't work for at the outset. Some children, it works for a little bit. And then you get to the short stay and mum says, yeah, it was helping, but it's not helping anymore. So it's important to regularly really vet those children. None of this writing it down, walking away and not coming back and reviewing them. Steroids is a really key point, probably my major point for my talk today. In terms of the use of steroids, what we know is that from a large controlled trial, there was no difference in length of hospitalisation for children who had steroids for their mild to moderate viral wheeze compared with placebo. So there's a group of children where we're able to stop using steroids, but not all of them. So people say, well, you know, steroids dampen down the immune system. What's the harm in doing it? Well, you could argue that it's really good to practice evidence-based medicine, but also don't forget about the minor side effects of steroids. Steroids make you hyperactive. Steroids give some children insomnia and mood disturbance. And so any family that's got a little child that looks like this, who turns into this when you give them steroids, they'll really thank you if you don't prescribe steroids for their first episode of viral wheeze. There are still some children that benefit from steroids for their wheeze, and those are the children who have very frequent episodes, those children who have moderate to severe episodes, the children that really have that asthma phenotype, they're allergic to lots of things, they've got eczema, and those children who, even if it's their first episode, are continuing to not improve despite 8 to 12 hours of bronchodilators. Okay. What was really interesting is when we made this guideline, we published it, there was this reflexial kind of response where nobody was allowed to have steroids under 5 years of age. And so this brings me just to talk about, you need to apply common sense for all of these children. You need to regularly reevaluate them. If you work in a hospital setting, you regularly reevaluate them through their stay in emergency, short stay, or the wards. And if you're a paediatrician or someone working in a general practitioner working in the community, regularly reevaluating them throughout the year, especially during winter, and seeing what happens. It is okay to stop the Ventolin if it's not working anymore. It's also okay to not give steroids early and then perhaps say, well, look, I really feel like I need something to get them over the line because they're just not getting as better as quickly as I think. So you don't have to follow the rules, but you do have to regularly reevaluate and critically appraise how things are going with these children. So you know that girl I was talking about before? I mean, she had asthma, and I don't think that there was anything that could have been done better in the community to have prevented this, you know, catastrophic episode that she had. But I do think there's some ways of managing these children in the community that we can do better, and that relates to education. I want to talk about action plans and education in the community now. And I mean, it's really obvious because, again, we're not talking about asthma today. I've just spent five or so minutes saying it's not asthma, it's a different pathology and it's got a different behaviour. Most of these children should have an action plan when they go home, the preschool wheezes. They're very, very frequent. This is an asthma action plan from the Asthma Australia website. It's really good. It's available to everybody, and I think it works well. I think when you're educating these families, that anything that works with a traffic light response, so green is when you're well, what do you do at home when you're well? Amber is when you're a little bit sick, what do you do? How do you, you know, change your therapy? And red is what to do when you're really sick. And important in all of this education is very much letting families know when you must call the ambulance. We see a few children every year who families have diligently driven their children up to the emergency department with a severe episode, and they don't look very well. They usually do well, but I think that they can have the ambulance called. And some families need permission to call the ambulance. So say, if you're worried, call the ambulance. So Fenton O'Leary and his team at the Westmead Children's Hospital had a look at these action plans and were really, I think, mainly focusing on how to improve compliance with sending asthmatic children home from the emergency department with a good action plan. But the secondary findings of this study were really that preschool wheezes were far less likely to receive education and an action plan on discharge. And so I think that that's really interesting because you see far less asthmatics than you do with wheezes. And they still have disease that needs bronchodilators, sometimes need to go to hospital. So this really highlighted for me that we need to think about how we look after and educate this group of patients. At Lady Salento, we've created a wheeze action plan. It's also on the computer. We think it works well for the majority of children that we see, but it can get really confusing because families deal with, I'm telling you, you know, I go and say that you've got wheeze. Someone, we used to call it reactive airways disease not long ago. Do they have asthma? Do they have multi-trigger wheeze? Do they have episodic viral wheeze? It's really confusing to families. So I don't want you to go away and be more confused. What I want you to go away and say to families is it doesn't matter what you name it or what you use on your action plan. It's how you educate them about what they understand about their wheezing child. So for every family, it's a little bit different how much education you need to give them. And so for this high-functioning nuclear family, you might need to not spend very much time explaining the difference between all of those wheezy illnesses. But not everyone is as high-functioning as this family group. You might have a large blended family who are going through an acrimonious separation and refuse to talk to each other. And you need to educate both of the family, you know, the both parents, and they might not want to be in the same room or the same country. You might have families, I know this is a little baby, but this was a good example of a single parent unit that relies on grandparents to assist them with their care of their child. And there's some really dysfunctional families that drive you nuts, but they actually need the most time with you to understand what's going on. The other group that I have omitted from up here are those with a non-English speaking background. And they take even longer because I don't know about where you work, but getting a translator at a hospital is easy, but it takes a long time to do that. So it takes time to educate these children well, to explain the differences between asthma, between wheeze, to explain whether they are going to go on to have asthma and when to use steroids or not. So it brings me back to the 2,033 patients that we see in the emergency department every year with this. Now, I like to think we're a kind of happy bunch in paediatrics generally and in paediatric emergency, but I have to tell you that sometimes I turn up for my 7 a.m. short stay shift and that ward is full of, you know, 16 to 18 patients, and they say there's 14 children. They're all waiting to get home and they've all got preschool wheeze or reactive airways. So that turns me from, well, you know, I've got a little bit of time pressure this morning, into this. It's a little bit more sinister. Tick-tock. Got to get all these patients out of here. We all live in a busy world now. We're busy. Families are busy. The hospital is busy. And it can be very easy in the morning to try and get everybody out the door really, really quickly. But every time you hustle someone out the door and haven't taken the time to explain things, you do balance safety and risk. And so it can be really, really tricky. The temptation is to get people out quickly. And the Obamas might go home quickly, but, you know, the Brangelinas may not. And so you need to think about how you invest and spend your time. So I challenge you all to have a think to, you know, wherever you work, to decide what resources do I have and how am I going to utilise and create a structure for education, educating not only my preschool wheezes but my asthmatic patients so that they're safe at home, so they understand and can navigate the confusion, and so that you can also really have a look at rectifying any confusion they have in their mind. That actually works. It takes time, but it's an investment as well. So I can say it's an investment for me because they may be able to stay out of hospital. They might not be there in the short stay ward in the morning the next time I have a short stay shift. But really the investment is for the families in their time and for the best management of those children with preschool wheeze. So my take-home message is today. So the now of preschool wheeze, we see a lot of patients now, right? 2,033. I'll be interested to see what we have next year. Thinking about when you are discharging patients with any type of wheezy illness, what kind of traffic light education plan you can give them that means that they're able to action things at home, and investing that time and tailoring your educational approach to the different types of families and making sure that within your work unit you've got a way to do that no matter the amount of patients that you have to see. And the future of preschool wheeze. So we're talking again about a little bit of a change in the definitions, thinking about children 1 to 5, thinking about that episodic viral wheeze definition and that multi-trigger wheeze definition. And for me, really changing the way you think about the use of steroids for those children who perhaps have their first episode of viral wheeze and only have a brief stay in hospital. The last thing I want to remind you all, and this is another take-home message, is that don't forget the vast majority of these children will not go on to have asthma. They really do grow up and grow out of their asthma. Oh, they're preschool wheeze, sorry. Even if they don't grow out of other things like sucking their thumb. Thank you very much.